Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 6, Killing of the Demon Putana, Text 10. Tasmanstanam Durjara Viryam Ulbanam Gaurankam Adaya Shishora Dadavata Gadam Karabhyam Bhagavan Pradiyatat Pranay Samam Rosha Samanvito Pivat Tasmidin. In that very spot, Stanam, the breast, Dorjara Viryam, a very powerful weapon mixed with poison. Ulbanam, which was fierce. Gora, the most ferocious Putana. Ankam, on her lap. Adaya, placing. Shisho, in the mouth of the child. Vidao, pushed. Ata, thereupon. Gadam, very hard. Karabhyam, with both hands. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pridiya, giving her great pain. Tat pranay, her life. Samam, along with. Rosha samanvitaha, being very angry at her. Abhivat, saktath breast. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. On that very spot, the fiercely dangerous Rakshasi took Krishna on her lap and pushed her breast into his mouth. The nipple of her breast was smeared with a dangerous, immediately effective poison. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, becoming very angry at her, took hold of her breast, squeezed it very hard with both hands, and sucked out both the poison and her life. Purport. Lord Krishna was not angry at Putana for her own sake, for his own sake. Rather, he was angry because the Rakshasi had killed so many small children in Brajabhumi. Therefore, he decided that she should be punished by having to forfeit her life. We'll continue on with the pastime. I'm barely pressed in every vital point. The demon Putana began to cry, "Please, leave me, suck my breast no longer." Perspiring, her eyes wide open, and her arms and legs flailing, she cried very loudly, "Again and again." Purport. The Rakshasi was severely punished by Krishna. She threw her arms and legs about, and Krishna also began to kick her with his legs to punish her properly for her mischievous activities. Translation is, Putana screamed loudly and forcefully. The earth with its mountains and outer space with its planets trembled. The lower planets in all directions vibrated, and people fell down, fearing that thunderbolts were falling upon them. Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that in this verse, the word rasa refers to the planetary systems below the earth, such as Rasatala, Atala, Vitala, Sutala, and Talatala. In this way, the demon Putana very much aggrieved because her breast was being attacked by Krishna, lost her life. O King Parikshit, opening her mouth wide And spreading her arms and legs and hair, she fell down on the pasturing ground in her original form as a Rakshasi. As Ritrasura had fallen when killed by the thunderbolt of Indra. Boom. Putana was a great Rakshasi who knew the art of covering her original form by mystic power. But when she was killed, her mystic power could not hide her, and she appeared in her original form. O King Parikshit, when the gigantic body of Putana fell to the ground, it smashed all the trees within the limits of 12 miles. Appearing in a gigantic body, she was certainly extraordinary. Could you imagine, was she 12 miles is what, 20 kilometers. Could you imagine a body 20 kilometers long? That would probably cover the whole of Ljubljana. Imagine you open the door one day and you can't open the door because there's a demon's body blocking it. Purport. Because of the grievous hurt imposed upon her by Krishna sucking her breast, Putana, while dying, not only left the room, but abandoned the village and fell down in the pasturing ground in her gigantic body. The Rakshasi's mouth was full of teeth, each resembling the front of a plow. Her nostrils were deep like mountain caves, and her breasts resembled big slabs of stone fallen from a hill. Her scattered hair was the color of copper. The sockets of her eyes appeared like a deep blind wells. Her fearful thighs resembled the banks of a river. Her arms, legs, and feet seemed like big bridges. And her abdomen appeared like a dried up lake. Just imagine, lake, what is it, bridge? What's the name of that lake that we go to, that famous lake here? Bled? Imagine seeing someone's navel look like a lake Bled. Her heart, ears, and heads of the coward men and women were already shocked by the Rakshasi screaming. And when they saw the fierce wonder of her body, they were even more frightened. Without fear, the child Krishna was playing on the upper portion of Putana's Rakshasi's breast. And when the gopis saw the child's wonderful activities, they immediately came forward with great jubilation and picked him up. Purport. Here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Although the Rakshasi Putana could increase or decrease her body size by her mystic abilities and thus gain proportionate power, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is equally powerful in any transcendental form. Krishna is the real personality of Godhead, because whether as a child or as a grown-up young man, he is the same person. He does not need to become powerful by meditation or any other external endeavor. Therefore, when the greatly powerful Putana expanded her body, Krishna remained the same small child and fearlessly played on the upper portion of her breast. Sat Aishvarya Purna. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always full in all potencies, regardless of whether he is present in this form or that. His potencies are always full. Parasha Shaktir Vivi Daiva Shuyate. He can display all potencies under any circumstances. We'll continue, but just a few words. Diparche eva hi disantaram abhyapyeta dishanti. Just like if you take a candle and you light another candle, each candle that you light burns equally. So similarly, Krishna expands himself in so many different ways, so many different forms. But in each one of his plenary expansions, he can display all the potencies in any expansion. But sometimes we find that Krishna expands himself as a plenary expansion, such as, for instance, Lord Nrisimhadev. The Lord Nrisimhadev is actually Krishna in a different mood, an appropriate mood. It's not that he comes and he kills Prahlad Maharaj and pats Lord Hiranyakashipu on the head. No, he comes specifically so that he can show his anger towards the demons. Not exactly anger, because Krishna's anger is transcendental, and he's equally affectionate to the demons in one sense as he is to the devotees. But unless Krishna was angry at the demons, then they never know that it's not a good idea to be angry, to be against Krishna. If Krishna danced with the demons would never become devotees. Therefore, Krishna has to show the appropriate behavior towards the demons in order to encourage them to give up their demoniac consciousness. Therefore, Krishna appears as a half-man, half-lion, and bifurcates Hiranyakashipu so that the other demons can see that even if you become as powerful a demon as Hiranyakashipu, still you cannot equal to the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any form that he appears. Just like when Ravana went to see his relative in Sutala. Sutala, there was Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj has given the kingdom of Sutala to reign over, and he had Vamanadeva as his doorkeeper. So Vamanadeva is a plenary portion of Krishna also, and in that particular incarnation, they were in the Sutala planet guarding Bali Maharaj. So there, the Ravana tried to get into Sutala because he wanted some help from his cousin Bali Maharaj in order that he can defeat Lord Ramachandra. So Ravana got through, he got into the kingdom of Sutala, and he met his cousin Bali Maharaj. Relative. Actually, they're more than cousins there. Anyhow, whatever. Because Prahlad Maharaj's son was Virochan, I believe, and his son was Bali Maharaj. So Hiranyakashipu was also the father of Prahlad Maharaj. So it was actually his grandson he came. Great grandson he came to see, to get some favor from him. Actually, no, that was Hiranyakashipu. This is Ravana. So Ravana was actually a different line, Vishrava. Vishrava was his father, who was also a Brahmin. And I don't know what dynasty he came from. Anyhow, they were related. So he comes to see Bali Maharaj and he asks for some charity so he can use it to wage the war against Lord Ramachandra. So Bali Maharaj said, sorry, because he asked Bali Maharaj to join him in the fight. He's sorry, Nara, I'm too old, I can't really fight against Lord Ramachandra, but I'll give you some charity if you'd like. I'll give you something that you can take back with you. So sure, whatever you can give. We accept donations. So he took him to this enormous room, and the room was a mountain. Big room. And the mountain was made out of diamond. It was a diamond. A diamond the size of a mountain. And on the mountain there were other jewels. So Bali Maharaj said, just pick it up and take it home with you. I'm sure you can get a good price on it. So he tried to pick it up, he couldn't do it. It was too heavy. Diamonds, especially the size of mountains, are quite heavy. And considering how big Ravana was, it was not just an ordinary mountain. So he said, no, where did this come from? I can't pick this up. Where did you get this? He said, well, actually, in your last lifetime, you were Hiranyakashipu. And you had a fight with Lord Nrsimhadev. And during this fight, one of your earrings, it was knocked off your ear and fell here. And this is your earring in your previous lifetime as Hiranyakashipu. And now you're Ravana, you become so puny, you can't even pick up your own earring from your last lifetime. And that Lord Nrsimhadev, that Lord Ramachandra that you want to fight against now is actually the same Lord Nrsimhadev with the same potency that you got defeated as in that form of Hiranyakashipu, and now you think you have a chance to fight, to kill Lord Ramachandra, you're an illusion. Sorry, can't help you. So he said, all right, I'll leave. So when he's leaving, Vamanadeva decided he'd kick Ravana 800,000 yojanas. So he gave him a kick to the where it hurts, and he flew 800,000 yojanas and hit the planet again. Therefore, we should appreciate that. Krishna is simply displaying his potencies appropriately. He's a little baby here as Krishna, but he can kill a big Rakshasi demon the size 12 miles high or 20 kilometers high. Have you ever seen a baby that could kill a Rakshasi demon 20 kilometers long? No, just you watch out for such a baby. Treat it nicely. Similarly, when Krishna was a young boy with Balaram, they entered into the arena against battle against Charnura, Amushtika, Toshala, and Shalya. And all when before the fight, the wrestling match, Mushtika and Shalva, they came forward to fight against Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna said, my dear Mushtika and Chanura, I'm just a young boy. Sometimes we fight with my friends at a play in the pasturing ground. But you're strong wrestlers, big as mountains. How can it be fair that you fight against coward boys such as ourselves? It would not be very pleasing to the audience, this unfair match. But Mushtika and Chanura said, my dear Krishna and Balaram, we've seen that you've just defeated this elephant, Kulyavalpita, which is as strong as 10,000 elephants. So you're not an ordinary cowherd boy. And at the same time, we understand that you are the creator and the maintainer and the annihilator of the whole universe. So it behooves you to fight against the strongest wrestlers. So that's called illusion. Imagine you're a little flea and then there you see an elephant. You say, let's fight. we understand you're a big elephant, but I'm the strongest of the fleas. So it behooves you to fight against the strongest of the fleas. I'm not an ordinary flea. So is that a good idea? You may be the strongest flea in your family, but will you fight against an elephant? Is that an intelligent thing to do? But that's what it means that people's intelligence is taken away by illusion. They understood that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creator, the maintainer, and the annihilator of the whole universe, and still they want to fight against him. Obviously, it was an unfair fight, but not in the way that most people thought it was. And indeed, Krishna and Balaram fought against Mushtika and Chanura, and we won't tell you who won, you'll have to read the Krishna book. In any case, Krishna always wins. We never find out that Krishna loses, except one time. When was that? You didn't know that Krishna lost one time?
With the coward voice.
No one knows when Krishna lost. When did Krishna lose? Nitya Seva.
Was it that, I don't know if he lost, but was it that when he had a, in Dwarka, they had this, whether it was Mathura or Dwarka, he had an arena, and he was fighting, but he left.
Close. I think he was in Mathura at the time. Who was attacking him? Who was attacking Krishna for the 18th time?
He just left.
He fled. Jarasandha came with Ranchor Krishna. He fled. He went up a mountain. And what happened when he went up the mountain? Jarasandha put a fire around the top of the mountain. And what did Krishna Balaram do?
They just jumped off the cliff?
Yeah, 80 yojanas they jumped. It's a good jump. That's the world's record for high jump. Except someone did a bigger jump than him. Who was that? Hanuman. Anyhow, it was second. He came in second. So Krishna is known as Ranchara, that apparently he was defeated, but actually he just didn't want to waste his time defeating Jarasandha. And indeed, later on, Krishna empowered who to kill Jarasandha? Who eventually killed Jarasandha? Who? Are you sure? You think? You have to say it with confidence. Yes. Bhima split him, Jarasandha, in half. Jara. Born of Jara, Sandha. Two parts of Jara. Sandha, that means split in half. So anyhow, the point is that we should appreciate Krishna's inconceivable potencies in any incarnation, and that he's displaying them appropriately just for the benefit of the pastime, to protect his devotees, to annihilate the demons, and to reestablish religious principles. So I'll stop there. Otherwise, we can just go on reading the pastime. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna, so it appears that Vaman and Deva have service to be doorkeeper.
Yes.
So I'm just thinking it is not so dynamic service, but...
Well, you don't know who
comes... ...there all the time.
Yeah, I don't know if what his hours are. I'm sure he gets a lunch break.
I never.
In any case, he's transcendental. He's living in the spiritual world wherever he is, and everything is blissful wherever he is. Exactly who comes and visits Pali Maharaj, I don't know. You know, it could be pretty exciting. You know, guests he has every day. And anyhow, don't worry about Krishna. He's doing all right. Anything else? Yes.
There is this news all over social media. I was just seeing that India, they went to the south pole of the moon.
They're loony. They're loony. Yeah, they become loony. Yeah.
So I was thinking about it, as you know, that one cannot enter another planet in this body, needs a particular type of body to enter another planet.
Yes.
But then I was just reading some comments, Srila Prabhupada. Like one of the comments is that we cannot enter because of the need of a particular body. Another was that there are different ways to enter another planet. One of them is through spaceships, another one is by mystic powers. And another one is by worshipping of demigods. And Prabhupada said the easiest one of them is the one with the demigod worship can enter the planet. But then also he mentioned that through spaceship, like he said that nowadays people are going through through spaceship. So I was just thinking how...
Anyhow, who can believe anything they say? They don't even know they're not their body. Anyhow, you're from India, so it's a glorious day. And even if they landed on the moon, what's the benefit? It's wasting so much time. You know, imagine how much prasadam they must have taken with them. What can they do there? What have they accomplished by doing it? Just saying we went there. They can't. But anyhow, who can take them seriously? All these demons are all, I won't tell that you didn't go there if you don't tell that I didn't go there. It's all mental. It's all a show. And yet they'll spend, like America spend like $55 billion, which is like hundreds of billions of dollars now, to so-called go there, to bring back a handful of dust. I could have given you, for $1 million, I could have given you a handful of dust. You could have saved $55 billion. And they analyzed the rock, and they found out it was the same rocks that are in Arizona that's on the moon. You could have brought back a rock from Arizona and saved you so much money. Yes?
I heard and I studied a little bit this thematics of Mahamuni, and I got information that Stanley Kubrick was the biggest name.
I can't understand what you're saying.
The point is, there is no moon engine because it's a subterranean engine, so NASA faked all this, and they are troubling our mind with this.
Of course, the four defects. One of them is cheating. I'm surprised these people are actually cheaters. I thought they were a completely honest sattvic, following all the principles of devotional life and completely honest people. In India, there's no such thing as a bribe. If you offer some official a bribe, you said, how can you offer me a bribe? We're honest people. We always tell the truth. We always do honest things. Just give us another $50 billion and we'll go to Mars. We'll give you a picture. The Martians, they're taking pictures with the Martians. Anything else? I hope it's another topic. Grandharaya Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.